from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. Or it must be a Tuesday, but maybe it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left.
Vamos, let's go.
It's nice to be with you, friends.
Good to see you guys.
What is up?
Well,
what is going on?
I'm in a really awesome baseball mode right now.
You should be. It's early August. Things are tightening up. I don't know if you've seen some of the wild card, even some of the division races. Some teams are clenching butt cheeks right now.
Getting to the sprint.
I've got a lot. What's actually keeping me in baseball really hard right now, other than what I normally am about with baseball, is fantasy. I'm in a league that we get to keep three guys.
We're diving right into fantasy baseball. Not even a minute into the show.
No. We don't have to do that because that's
head
boring.
First.
That's boring and nobody cares. But like, we are in a league where you get to keep three guys where you drafted them. Or if you trade for them, you get them where they drafted them.
Oh.
And next year it's going to Dynasty.
Yeah, I think you've explained this.
So I am so into it. I just traded Freddie Freeman.
Oh, boy.
It's a big move.
For a fifth-round pick. I took him in the second. But my team is really bad.
I'm enthralled right now. What's the record?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to know. You said my team's real bad. I want to know.
I'm in 11th out of 12th.
Oh, boy.
Place.
Oh, boy.
I came on really strong, and then Christian Walker decided that he hates me, and Riley Green decided that he hates me.
Hey, you got those Mariners pitchers giving you quality starts, though, right?
I do have George Kirby.
Kirby. Yeah, he'll get you 75 pitches and then call it good after the fifth inning.
Hey, shut up.
Five and two-thirds is what we laugh about.
He just made the Cy Young voting awards for the first list.
Huh?
So I'm watching a lot of baseball right now. I know everybody wants to watch the Olympics, and I find it really funny with the Olympics. I don't know if anybody's talked about this. I have unfortunately not been able to listen to our wonderful friends here, whether it's Dirt and Sprague, Danny Dusty.
I've been locked in on Olympics podcasts for the last couple weeks.
Have you really?
No.
Okay, good.
I was like, really?
No. I find this
I don't care that much.
I find this really interesting about the Olympics. I've noticed that those of us, and I say us, but I mean collective us, but I will say the three of us, we are such diehard American sports fans. Whether it's baseball, football, basketball, you know, personally, I dabble in the EPL. I love college basketball, etc. Is it strange to you guys that those of us ilk could care less about the Olympics and those that don't really watch sports are enthralled by them?
I hear what you're saying. I will push back a bit because I feel like even diehard sports fans enjoy the Olympics, but I understand the other sentiment of that. Like my girlfriend, she is just putting the reruns on. Like when the Olympics aren't live, she's going to the Peacock, the cock, and just replaying what happened last night. So she's locked in. Her friends are locked in. Did you see Simone Biles, her floor routine the other night?
It's like, but Simone Biles' floor routine was 8 hours ago.
And she'll watch it. She even knows what happened. But that's and then she rewatches it. And I'm like, damn, that's I don't care that much.
That's also the other thing. Like, I can't tape delay sports.
No, neither. I can't either.
It's so hard because I have the access to sports right away. That it's like, okay, the Chiefs are playing the Bills tonight on Sunday Night Football, but I won't get home until 8 o'clock, so I'll start the game at 8. No, I can't do that because by 8 o'clock,
game's over.
Game's almost over. We already know where it's going. But with the Olympics, like, kudos to Peacock and NBC. Nobody cares that you can find these results. You know, if you're watching,
they still watch it, whether it's live or
American volleyball, hard court women's volleyball was playing Poland. And that was on TV 3 hours ago, but it happened 8 hours ago.
Yeah.
And you can look up online to see what happened. But people that watch the Olympics, they don't do that.
Well, right now I'm looking on the cock on the featured replays section. Like I could easily just Google what happened in the women's skateboard park final. I could easily Google what happened. Well, I actually already know what happened in the USA Brazil basketball game, but the women's soccer semifinal against Germany. Don't know what happened with Team USA there. I could easily Google this. But you know what? I'm going to dabble in this women's park final, this skateboarding park final.
And you're going to watch it.
Hell yes. But they got some, like, I do know there's this, like, 12-year-old Chinese girl out there that is just absolutely shredding things.
But I look on the TV, the Astros are playing the Rangers right now. Mm-hmm. And Framber Valdez is in the eighth with 91 pitches.
Ooh.
And has not, what's the best way to say this? Has not allowed someone to make contact with the bat and get on base.
Ah, I see where
see
you're
what
going.
I'm saying. See what I'm saying. You don't want to talk about it.
So he has no hitter going.
You're just kind of skating around, but you're just saying
you just poo-pooed all over Framber Valdez.
The magic could be happening.
My bad.
But in the Olympics, like if that's going on right now, my phone will buzz me and tell me Framber Valdez has a no hitter going into the ninth. He just got out of the eighth. I'm like, oh, I got to watch that.
Oh, but he's strutting.
But in the Olympics, you don't care. Like, if you didn't watch men's basketball today, which I would argue is the only which is funny, as a non-NBA guy, I do actually really like Olympic basketball.
You would.
Because I like the structure. I like FIBA's rules. I like the lines. I like how they do basketball.
You so like non-competitive basketball games?
So I love college basketball. Yes, I love non-competitive basketball games. So if I didn't watch that in the morning, I still can't watch it at night. Because I already know.
I mean, shoot, I watched Noah Lyles live, like when it actually happened in the morning, winning the 100 meters, and then I was willing to watch it again later that night. It was that captivating to me. And I don't know if you guys get the Olympic updates on your phones, like you just said, the Framber Valdez, like, alert, you know, seven innings through no-hitter, but, you know, I see Simone Biles, oh, she wins the silver on the floor routine. I'll still watch that, because this is, A, once every 4 years, and B, I mean, this is just a different kind of athletic greatness than I think we see every day in the world of sports that we watch.
Well, I will say, I just can't keep up with the times and what's happening, when, at what time, and hey, this is when this competition, I just can't. I just can't keep up with the Olympic schedule, so that's why I'm a very just casual Olympic watcher. More often than not, I'm trying to see what's going on with women's beach volleyball for obvious reasons. But
my wife even wants to watch that one with me.
So. Well, I actually like the cycling and the running because it's through the city.
Yeah.
So it's like wherever the Olympics are.
Or what about swimming through the poop river and then getting E. coli?
I don't want to see that because I know that's a bad idea. I have crossed the River Seine a couple times. I did it last summer with my wife. We were in Paris for...
And you just got E. coli being near it.
Just smelling it. I was like, that is a terrible river. I will take the poop-filled Willamette.
Hey, they apparently have cleaned it up. I was reading some things today that they're doing their best to keep that E. coli count down at the poop-filled Willamette.
Oh, yeah. They got rid of, in the Beijing Olympics, they got rid of smog somehow. They usually do that for the Olympic Games.
No, I'm talking about the Willamette.
So if you have...
We don't have the Olympics going, and we're cleaning that baby up.
Let's just use math real quick, all right?
Ooh,
I know math.
That's...
I know. dangerous for us, I know.
Settle down.
But if there are 50 people swimming in the Seine for this event, okay, and 10 of them get sick, okay, that's 20%. Do you call that a win? Or do you call that a loss?
I call that a loss because you had 50 people swim in that thing willingly.
Well, I don't know willingly. They had to because they wanted to compete.
Even if zero came down with E. coli, then you're like, wow, we dodged a bullet right there.
Yeah, is this better or worse than Rio? Because 8 years ago, I don't know if you remember. That was the
Zika.
Ew, and it was not good. Like, trying to swim in that water, there was a lot of worries about that.
Yeah, that was the Zika Olympics. I remember a bunch of the golfers were tripping out about not... Well, just Olympic athletes were tripping out about not going there. But listen, man, shouldn't go in that river. The Olympics, I like them, but again, for the ancillary sports. I love becoming an expert on these ancillary sports within 10 minutes also.
Ping pong, I know everything about ping pong.
Oh, dude, handball, awesome.
Handball's fun.
Handball expert at this point.
I've got a buddy who is from Manchester, England, and they were playing what we know as basically field hockey.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
On the hard court. It was India.
Great Britain. Oh, I was watching that myself, too.
India got a red card, but India won in a shootout.
I was saying, this has got some historical tensions in this matchup.
And I was sitting at the bar with a buddy of mine who is a big ice hockey fan. Okay? Big ice hockey guy.
You can just call it hockey.
Yeah, also. like fantasy, like the whole shebang. Like, he's from Detroit, obviously a big Red Wings fan. He calls it hockey. And the bartender, who's from Manchester, he was saying, no, what you play is ice hockey. This is hockey.
No.
And we were like, you're so wrong.
No.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just stop.
And
dude,
then the graphic popped up and it said men's hockey.
See, but that's just because the Summer Olympics.
That's what they call it.
Well, it's the Summer Olympics. Like, duh, this is the only hockey going on in the Summer Olympics. But if someone... You could pull 99 out of 100 people in this world and be like, hey, do you like to play hockey? Taken from all different countries.
No, I can't because I can't skate. That's what they would say.
Yeah, but they would know you're talking about ice hockey.
But if I go to the Olympic website, they're both listed. It's ice hockey and field hockey.
But that's what I mean. I think it's listed as hockey and ice hockey.
That's weird.
Also, fun fact in this women's skate...
Remember, America's not everything.
I don't know. Have you seen that medal count, baby?
Yeah, we use inches instead of kilometers.
We run the world.
Dude, the ladies run the world.
We run this bitch. The women's skateboard park final, the oldest skateboarder in the of the eight.
Let me guess. 17.
No, 23. But there's multiple teenage girls that are skateboarding in this competition.
And they're from China.
15, 16. I think one was from Spain. But yes, multiple teenagers in this final.
We have to remember, when it comes to the Olympics, the Chinese have like two-thirds of the world's population.
Yeah, that's
maybe not two-thirds. A third.
It's maybe close. A little bit over exaggeration.
They have a third of the world's population. You should be good at stuff.
Well, hey, India's got a butt ton of people. They should be.
They have a billion people. China has 3 billion people. There's 9 to 10 in the world.
What's their medal count looking like, India? Step your game up.
I don't think India's doing
well. They were like fifth, sixth, or seventh. They're kind of down there.
But I don't think they're doing well.
No.
But boy, were they happy to get that field hockey win over Great Britain.
I'm down sure a man?
Like, they're like, in your face.
In your face.
Remember that time you occupied our country? Yeah, take that.
For like 500 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they made IPA, so that's
they're like,
great.
Hey, as long as we won the field hockey quarterfinal matchup against them, right?
Oakley Dokley. Well, we do got a lot of show to get to you tonight. We will update you on our favorite player to update you. Plus, we got bad teams and how bad they are. We've also got some bullpen struggles.
Oh, dude, India 63rd in the medal count with only 3 bronzes. Get it together.
Wow, get it together. Awful. Well, they could get a gold if they win in hockey.
Field hockey.
Hockey.
I mean, you're barely better than Malaysia, Lithuania, Tajikistan. Come on.
I bet Lesotho has more medals than they do.
Lesotho, or is it Lesotho?
I think it's Lesotho. That's... The enclave within South Africa.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to get to you today. Plus, we'll talk about some bullpens that are in a little bit of a mess. There's an offensive team all of a sudden that was not very offensive. Is that sustainable, or is that just a little plug? Plus, we got fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, my friends, I have something to share with you.
Oh, boy.
I have a giant announcement to make. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will check in on our favorite player of the hot corner. Plus, we will dive into the worst team in baseball and could be the worst team ever in baseball. So that's the rest of the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into a lot of other stuff. Plus, fair or foul. That's what we do. So,
got a sexy one this week, actually.
Pretty excited. you got a sexy fair or foul.
I put a lot of work into it. I was really bored today, and I was like, you know, it took me like a legit couple of hours to put some research into this one.
Ooh. You might get slightly aroused listening to it.
That is what we call a tease. In the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to get into bullpens.
Oh my God, Framber Valdez got caught with sticky stuff.
But I would also, Joe, stop. Dude, you're going to freak people out. But I'd also like to get into a bad offense that all of a sudden looks kind of like a good offense. So there's a lot coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But boys, I got to share something with you. Okay, I am a Seattle Mariner fan, right? I was a longtime Cleveland Indian fan.
Yes, I remember. I recall.
I went to Game 1 and Game 2 of the 2016 World Series.
Yes, I recall.
Game 7, I had a buddy of mine who is from the north side of Chicago, who lived in Portland at the time. He now is back in Chicago. When the Cubs won the World Series, I let him cry in my arms while I was... very mad at Mother Nature. Mother Nature is one of my favorite humans, entities, whatever you want to say, auras, to exist. I'm about to go spend 5 days with her.
Okay, hippie, what are you getting to?
I was watching a Seattle Mariner game, and it was the other day when Mitch Haniger walked. To walk it off.
The walk off
against
when
the
he should have gotten struck out.
He should have gotten struck out. That was a really bad call. I fully agree.
Although there have been other calls where they got screwed on, so it's evening out.
And I watched Haniger walk off the Phillies. And I turned to my buddy, who is a big time Mariner fan, because we were watching the game together. And I turned to him and I said, I can't do this. And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, the Mariners just won. And I was like, I can't do this. I have no I have no passion left in me to exert on this team.
Don't.
So what I'm going to share with you, my friends.
Oh, my God.
Is that I'm out.
What? I mean, I think
Hasn't it even been two full seasons?
No. No. I'm fully aware that it has been less than two seasons. And my friends, what I'm telling you is this current abusive girlfriend, I can't handle anymore.
Boo.
I am going back.
I need two drops. I need from Half Baked, boo this man. And I need the chick from Game of Thrones ringing the bell. Shame. Shame. Ding, ding. Shame.
I am going back to the abusive girlfriend that I know how she acts. My friends, I'm a Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, that's not a team, so I don't know who you're rooting for exactly. Do you even have a team anymore?
Terry Francona, Frankie Lindor at short, Kluber on the mound. I'm an Indians fan.
All right.
You're going back?
I'm going back. Right. I'm buying a hat, like, tomorrow.
Listen. I'm not going to give you too much crap because I was once a fickle college football fan. I could not find a team during my high school, early college years. I jumped around. I first was a USC fan, and then they decided to lose to Oregon State every other year at the most inconvenient time, or lose to UCLA at the end of the year.
Mark Sanchez rolls into Corvallis, and Oregon State's not very good, and they lose.
Or it's like, hey, let's have an undefeated season and then lose to UCLA 13-9 last game of the year, whatever the hell it was. So, and then I went from them to Kansas State. I had a stint with Colorado. And then I went to my mighty Oregon Ducks because I decided to give them thousands of dollars per year for education, which I
Pitt Panthers in basketball.
Pitt Panthers for basketball forever. All right.
Forever.
They will always be number one in my
heart. I know you won't lose that.
Over the Ducks, number two in basketball. But football, it's Oregon Ducks. And it's been like that since 2012, 2013.
But what
like
I'll
that.
Say, Joe, is that Pitt Panther love that you have, I can't quit Cleveland.
See, it's
so I'm going back. I can't. That's just the abusive relationship that I know, and it's comfortable. And Stephen Vogt should be manager of the year.
It's quite possible he might be, but
Jose Ramirez, the most underrated player in baseball. Now that I've said for a long time.
Well, and I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to say that.
Anderson! Down goes Anderson.
Framber Valdez just gave up a solo shot.
Did
a
he
two
really?
Run shot Good. In the ninth with two outs.
Oh, what a bum. What an idiot with two outs.
You can put it on the ball.
I would have not done anything like that in MLB The Show.
But my friends, Corey Seager is a two-time World Series MVP, should be a Hall of Famer because he's done it in both leagues. Only Frank Robinson has done that. Like, I'm just saying.
What level of emotion is worse, giving up the a two out ninth inning no hitter that you have? Like, is that lower than the high of taking that away from someone?
Getting
on a two run shot?
Oh, I think,
like, do you I would think the low is lower than Corey Seager being like, yeah, that's right, bitch.
Now Valdez is getting pulled right now.
Well, yeah,
if he stayed in the game, if he stayed in the game, I would argue Valdez is winning. Okay, you got two outs. You gave up a dinger. You almost had a no hitter.
I like how MLB Network's like, and we're out of here. Yep,
done.
We're gonna go.
But
to
the fact
game.
That the fact that he gets pulled, Kyle Seager goes, suck it, bitch.
Yeah, Corey. That's definitely
Corey. Yeah, sorry, Corey.
Shout out to
Kyle's
Mariners.
Freudian slip there.
I see. Can I say that I see, as a diehard Mariners fan, I see why you were out on them, because even though they won that Philly series and with that 6-5 walk-off, guess how many times they struck out total as a team through the series?
I don't need to. I just can't. Like, I know that woman hits me in the face. But I like it when Cleveland hits me in the face more than Seattle hits me in the face.
30 times, by the way. 30 strikeouts.
30 times.
So I understand it's something that I can't get out of. I feel like your Indians relationship is my Mariners relationship.
And Paul, you gotta build up. Paul Dolan is brutal. Like, the upper echelon, the execs in Cleveland are awful. It's just as bad as Seattle. It's really hard to deal with. But I will tell you this.
You're such a pee.
I will tell you this. The GM of Toronto which has kind of fallen apart, but for a while there looked really good. And the GM of Atlanta, who won a World Series and has built a perennial, those guys are Cleveland guys. Kevin Cash in Tampa Bay, that's a Cleveland guy. Terry Francona, like, the organization, despite its upper echelon being brutal, still produce. Seattle, I can't do both.
I mean, you can even go back, like Mike Hargrove in the 90s and 2000s. Great manager in Cleveland.
I love Mike Hargrove.
Yeah, huge name there.
We've lost 3 World Series since 95.
Well, I hope you lose 4 now.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, you could have done this after the season.
Nope, I'm doing it now.
Yeah, didn't Eric Wedge spend like, what, 5 seasons there, win manager of the year as well after Mike Hargrove? I mean, they have had a very consistent run of good leadership in the dugout.
2007, we're 2 outs away from going to the World Series to play the Rockies.
The Matt Holliday-led Rockies.
The Troy Tulowitzki-led Rockies.
The Red Sox got us because our bullpen failed, just like in 97. And Manny Ramirez was the MVP because Manny Ramirez's World Series stats are stupid.
Mandaram.
And we went on a World Series in 2016. If Mother Nature, who I pray to every single day, would have loved me, we would have won that World Series as well. Well, I'm going back home.
Listen.
It's coming home.
As a Cowboys fan, when a team just leads you through misery, I understand. But I do not condone, as a full-grown adult, pulling a Jason Swigard. But granted, the one thing is, it sounds like they just never truly had your heart.
Nope. That's what it is. What I've learned.
You were texting your main chick on the side this entire time.
Yep.
You were cheating on the marriage.
Yep.
You still love her.
Still follow the subreddits. I still know their games.
Say it. You still love her.
You're going to go back to her. No, I'm not, babe. Yes, I am.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
That's right. I
get it. I get it.
Die hard Cleveland Indians.
You couldn't even go 2 years of being a Mariners fan. That's how bad it is.
I'm going back to Cleveland.
And they weren't even losing seasons.
I know. I'm going back to Cleveland.
Well, I hope.
It's not even because they're good. It's just what feels right.
You know what? I hope we get Mariners Orioles ALCS now with either of our teams knocking out the Cleveland Guardians in the ALDS.
I hope so, too. I'll take the Orioles in that.
I hope that's what happens.
I'm down with the Guardians. I just hope I never have to hear the drummer again. I think he's passed away.
He did pass away.
It's not about the person. It's just about the noise. Every time the Mariners played in Cleveland, especially at Jacobs Field, I don't think he was around as much a Progressive, but I will never forget that boom, boom. It's like, oh, my.
Jacobs Field and Progressive are the same stadium.
Are they really?
Yep, just different names.
What's the stadium before that I'm thinking of?
Oh, it's like some garbage memorial. It's in Major League. Go look at that.
But bad. Same.
All right, let's get into some real baseball. It's time to let you know an update of our favorite player. We've been giving updates all season on is this player back, and we will retire that series next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, But later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
738 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver text line 503-864-6326. We got a lot coming in that are backing me to leave the Mariners. I'm a guards kid now. I'm going to buy a hat in a few days. And that's where we are. Usually I say those lines at 7:15, but I got a little excited, and so here we are at 7:30. Eight.
I can't believe you. I can, but I can't.
You
got me sick.
You know, Joe, I think one of the more fun things, when I look back at the 2024 season with our show that we do here, this little stupid baseball show, one of the most fun things we had was, is this player back? And there was a while there where the answer was yes.
There was a while so much that I was like, hey, let's put him back in our open.
Yeah. There was a while there that we felt, and we've always been a fan of this player, and we've always loved and rooted, and they're a bona fide Hall of Famer. Yet here we are, as a few days, another torn meniscus for the great Mike Trout, who will be out for the rest of the season. And I dove a little bit into it and looked at stuff and found out that in the last 4 years, Mike Trout has played one game after the All-Star break. In
last
the last four years. One game after the All-Star break.
Are we sure about that? Because 2022, he played 119. 119 games. Is that really only one game? That can't be just one game after the All-Star break.
Maybe I'm wrong. But the reality remains is that Mike Trout is a first half of the season kind of player.
And you look at his games played per year, stark difference from the first 10 versus the last four. Because, I mean, 2020... those numbers always look weird because he played 53 out of 60 games in the COVID year. But then 2021, 36 games. 2022, 119. Last year, 82 games. And then this year, 29, which will be a career low in games played for him.
My friend, this is the question I ask you. Are we done?
I think... We're not done. Mike Trout is not done. He will come back next year. He will continue to play baseball. It's just we got to be done putting so much faith in his production. When you have three injury-prone seasons in three out of the last four, then it starts to become a trend.
And
especially this year when you tear your meniscus, try to come back, and then you tear it again. It's like, all right, your body's not healing like it once was. You are what?
Are you rushing back? I would have to think he's not rushing back.
You're 32 years old. Going on 33. I know he is a specimen of a human being. He is a professional athlete. But again, you're not in your early 20s, mid-20s anymore. This is kind of looking like who he is. And I heard the comparison the other day. I don't know if it was the morning show guys, one of our other shows or what, but we're getting into Griffey territory.
That's the question I was going to ask. Like, is this the next Griffey? Because Griffey is a bona fide Hall of Famer. over 90% of votes in. I don't know who the four guys were that didn't vote for Griffey or however many number it is. Trout's going to the Hall of Fame. Is this Griffey 2.0? And then I'll ask the bonus question, whose career was better, Ken Griffey Jr. or Mike Trout?
I mean, I'm biased here, but I'm already just thinking Ken Griffey Jr.'s longevity and consistency earlier in his career. I understand Mike Trout had a couple of really good seasons hitting a lot of home runs.
That's a three-time MVP.
Exactly, but Ken
Griffey does not have three MVPs.
But he played in the era of the 90s where, I mean, shoot, the Cy Young, I mean, was like three Atlanta Braves for a decade. Like there's just so many guys in the 90s that Griffey was competing against of that era. I think he would have won.
Yeah, bunch Bond, of juiced McGuire. Up freaks in
bunch
that era.
Juiced up
yeah,
freaks.
Exactly.
If McGuire, he were Sosa.
If he were playing in the 2000s at that level or at that age, I think he probably would have won more MVPs. And Mike Trout played in the era where he could win more MVPs because that was kind of lax, and MLB was looking for that superstar face of the league. Every single year, even after he got injured, yeah, there were a couple of years where he missed a significant amount of time, but 20 home runs, 35 home runs, 27 home runs, 30 home runs again through the age of 37 before he just kind of teetered off. I don't see Trout being able to do that.
My first instincts when we ask that question is Griffey. Like, there will be no one ever like him, I think, as far as his impact during his best years. I think we're more of an impact, not just for him and his team, but the league. I mean, Mike Trout was great, is great. Whether he's going to be able to have that bounce back and just give us 130, 140 games. It's like, again, we've only seen it once over the last four seasons. And you're getting to the point where the injuries are stacking up. It's just such a gut punch. And so from looking at the two careers, instinctively, I go Griffey is better, but it is a very similar career trajectory where first half of your career just absolutely dominant. It doesn't look like they're going to let up. And then it's just the wind is taken out of the sails.
I think I'm with you. I think what's crazy is when Mike was at the peak, I think I could tell you the three greatest center fielders of all time were Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr., and Willie Mays. And that's cutting out Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
That's cutting out, you know, a lot of great other center fielders. But when Mike was on that tear, I think what's with me is that I am not ready. I think it's because I don't want to give up on Mike. Like, I want to believe this is just bad luck. And I thought that at the beginning of this year. And when he came out like a gangbuster. And he looked really good. And like talking to my buddies in my fantasy leagues, it's like, I got Mike Trout in the sixth round. It's like, Mike Trout looks like a second rounder. Like, he is hitting, he is there, blah, blah, blah. And now, yeah, I think Jordan, I think Schultze, you bring up a great point that Griffey dealt with the same stuff that Trout is dealing with right now, but Griffey was still able to perform. And Trout is just not able to perform.
And also played in the era with the Reds where they were still in the National League where he couldn't DH.
Right.
I mean, so he had to go
to the
field.
He had to play out in the outfield.
And Mike Trout, even with all of this meniscus after meniscus tear, he's DHing. It sucks.
This doesn't question his Hall of Fame.
No.
Right?
No.
I'm asking the question.
I'm starting to wonder.
You're starting to wonder.
What's he at? Because I think of the Hall of Fame as hitting certain benchmarks.
Sure, and 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, etc.
You got to be on the field to hit those. And I know that he hits like a beast, but you got to be on the field.
I'm still in the boat of Mike Trout is a Hall of Famer.
If he gets to a new spot next year, if he gets a fresh start, absolutely. But this may be sentimental and, I don't know, kind of like witchcrafty sounding, but like, I think that black cloud in Los Angeles is really
being an angel.
Yeah, he's got to get out because his body, I mean, it's like when you fight cancer, you have to be positive. You have to be coming, you know, to the hospital and waking up every day with a positive constitution.
And what about Anthony Rendon batting leadoff you positive?
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing.
It's hard.
Like, look at Shohei. Like, Shohei is probably going to win the National League MVP, and he's got Tommy John on his pitching elbow, and he's still raking because he's in an organization that is taking care of him.
I'm going to give you similar batters through 31 years old, baseball reference. Duke Snider, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Hall Vladimir Famer, Guerrero, Famer, Manny Famer. Ramirez, Chipper Jones. Most similar by ages. I mean, the last 3 years, he most compares to Duke Snider.
But
so,
who? How many years did they all play after that? Because all of those guys that you named.
That is the caveat, is that what are we going to see Mike look like over the next 4 to 5 seasons?
But do you think there's somebody that's won 3 MVPs and finished in the top 3 of 8 MVPs not make the Hall of Fame?
If there is someone.
Steroids aside.
If there is someone, you got to let me know, because I can't think of one.
So Mike, so we can end on this and we'll get out on this. We can say that Mike Trout, his Hall of Fame status is not in question.
Not to me, it isn't.
I would say slightly, but when you bring up the
MVPs,
maybe
not a first ballot, but
he'll be there by the third.
He'll be there by the third, says Schultzy. I would still vote for him in the first ballot. All right, let's switch this around. Can you be worse? Can you be worse? Next, Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll dive into some bullpens and some offenses. Are they for real, or are we just struggling right now? Plus, we'll have fair or foul, but I want to get into this. Guys, do you remember when you turned 21?
I do. My son was going to be born in 2 months.
Nice.
Yeah, good, so it was you. A good, solid little hoorah. A
solid little hoorah.
It was an awesome baby shower.
Schultzy, your 21 run?
Yeah, actually, I had a bunch of people from the radio station come out. It was a pretty big party. That was a pretty fun night.
My 21 run, at midnight, I turned 21, and I went to the bar in Pullman. The next morning, I woke up and drove back to Portland and went on a 21 run with my friends home. So I
Hell yeah.
Two 21 runs in less than 24 hours.
They would not allow us to do that in Oregon, unfortunately.
I will tell you what, the Chicago White Sox are not having as much fun as we have. It is what it is. Look, we talked last week. We think they were very poor at the trade deadline. Whatever has happened to this team, whether it's Reinsdorf from the top down to management, down to on-field management, down to players on the field. My friends, I'm asking you this. We're at 21 losses in a row right now. I read a stat that said if the White Sox won every single game from here on out, they'd finish the season 10 games under 500. Is this one of the worst teams we've ever seen?
They're on track. I think I did the math earlier today, on pace for 34 wins.
That'd be 34 and 128.
Or I think it was 38 wins. Yeah, it was 38 wins. It was because it was 38 and 124, and 124 losses would give them the second most losses in season all time behind my
Cleveland Spiders. That's right. In 1899.
Way below what their over-under was at the beginning of the year. It was in the 40s. I remember that.
Which is amazing, because I don't even think the Cleveland Spiders played 162 games that year.
Well, no, they played 156, because that's what it was. It didn't bump to 162 till in the early 50s, I believe, which is why the asterisk on Roger Maris at 61, et cetera, et cetera, blah, 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 blah.
Right now, bottom of the fifth, the White Sox have a 2-1 lead over the Oakland Athletics.
Wow. Yeah. Pedro Grifol getting those guys moving.
27 and 88.
What I will tell you is the Cleveland Spiders in 1899, the reason that they only won like 28 games that year was because in the offseason they sold a man named Cy Young. And the next year,
he would have gotten them 30 wins.
It was a drop off of 60 wins.
Oh my God.
By trading Cy Young. But that's also 1899. I mean, it's Cy Young through every
Still,
other day.
That would make his WAR like 60. It doesn't really, but it should.
They named the award after him.
You think, yeah, you think there was a reason for that. You see White Sox, like, just year after year, incompetence in their front office. But you talked about the managerial spot. Since Ozzie Guillen, it's been just mediocrity or just downright crappy management Ozzie left to go to Miami, or they fired him. I think they were just done after the World Series a couple of years after. Robin Ventura after that.
Terrible.
Yeah. Rick Renneria, who was the Chicago Cubs retread, essentially, that they brought over after they fired him to put Joe Maddon in there. And then, of course, Tony La Russa.
Yeah, it always makes me wonder. Like, remember when they accidentally put out the, we've hired A.J. Hinch, but then Hinch took the Tigers job?
Ooh.
Do you think things would have changed, or do you think A.J. Hinch would have just been buried?
Buried, because this team... Because
I think he's doing decent stuff in Detroit. Like, they're not ready to win now, but I think they're building. Dark Skubal is great.
It's a franchise problem. It's a farm system problem. Granted, they kind of looked themselves a mirror a little bit and made some front office firings last offseason, but again... The ship had already sailed. Like, I mean, this team was going to be bad regardless, so they have new people in the front office, but they didn't even do good at the trade deadline, for God's sake.
No,
so it's just a matter of, like, does anybody know what's going on? And it, like a lot of franchises in sports, it starts at the top, paging Jerry Reinsdorf.
You have a player that everyone wanted, and your team is so bad and so poorly run that player in Garrett Crochet said... Yeah, I'm out.
And you had a player that not everybody wanted, but teams still wanted in Luis Robert Jr., and you couldn't even get rid of him.
Yeah. Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert. You got guys ever. Tim Anderson was a two-time batting champ, and you were like, I actually think they made a good move on him by not re-signing him.
Because he's absolutely killing it for the Marlins, right?
Because he fell off. No, he got DFA'd.
Yeah, he's gone. Not even a Marlin anymore.
So you made a good move there, but, like, you were built to be the future. Lucas Giolito. You know, what you got when you sent...
And then he got divorced like an idiot, right, Schultzy?
Well...
Once you sent Aaron Rowan and you sent Chris Sale, you got a king's ransom for those guys. And those guys are lucky to be in the league.
You want a fun little gambling note on this White Sox losing streak?
Hit me.
If you would have bet a dollar on July 10th for them to lose and then just roll that money over every game, you would have $11,000 right now. If you bet $100 on July 10th on them to lose that game and rolled that over, you would have $500,000. Now, the balls to bet on a team to lose 21 games in a row and just, I'm riding the heater, baby.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a diehard...
Give me black 21!
I'll tell you what, as a diehard Cleveland Indians fan, I hate the White Sox.
Oh, I
absolutely hate them.
I don't really have any ill will against them. I do know one person who is a White Sox fan, and so I do feel kind of bad for him because he's a nice guy.
But, Joe, let me ask you this question, though. When was the last time the Orioles won a World Series?
I would have been in the 80s, late 80s.
81, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say 80 or 81.
Schultzy, when was the last time the Mariners won a World Series?
Stop.
I'm just asking. I'm not trolling. I'm just asking.
All right, well, there are jokes about it. They have never been to a World Series.
Okay, the White Sox have won a World Series in the last 30 years.
Yes, Ozzie Guillen. Awesome.
83, excuse me. Orioles won their last one.
The White Sox have won a World Series in 30 years.
Was that 04?
05.
05. Which is still unreal to think that...
One of the worst World Series I've ever watched.
Against the Astros, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Clemens, Pettit.
When the Astros were a National League team.
The Killer Bees, they were a National League team. Those playoffs were amazing. The World Series was terrible.
It was a sweep, wasn't it?
Yes. No. No, it's not.
Are we sure about that?
It's not.
I thought the White Sox...
It's four games to one, but one of those games went to 18 innings. It's really terrible.
No, it was a sweep.
It was a sweep?
Chicago 4, the Astros 0.
No, it was a sweep.
Done in 5 days.
That's a really bad World Series.
Yeah, game one, 5-3, then 7-6, 7-5, 1-0. Ouch.
Not great. Paul Konerko, wonderful. Mark Burley.
Think Frank
Jermaine
Thomas
Dye.
Was still on that
I
team.
Believe Jermaine Dye is the MVP of that World Series.
Bobby Jenks shutting things
Bobby
down
Jenks
for the White Sox
from Spokane, Washington, my hometown.
And yeah, Jermaine Dye was the MVP.
Jermaine Dye is the MVP.
Paul I think Freddie Garcia was in that starting rotation.
But I remember
Scott Podsednik.
Oh, Scott Podsednik.
Former Mariner.
Maglio Ordonez? No, he's in Detroit at the time.
Mark Burley.
Dude, Mark Burley is a fringe Hall of Famer.
He's a red ass. Also, just a little note from the last segment. We talked about MVPs, multiple-time MVPs that have possibly not been inducted into the Hall of Fame. There's only one non-steroid, accused non-steroid player that did not get into the Hall of Fame, and that would be Dale Murphy, our very own.
Ooh, Dale Murphy.
Ah, Portland, Oregon zone.
I know. The other is Juan Gonzalez, but you know.
Dude, tore his bicep off.
Light it up, Texas. Yeah. All right, we come back. We got a loaded second hour. Bullpens. Our offense is for real, plus fair or foul. Hot corner. That's Joe. I'm Patrick. Schultze on the glass. 10A the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, you're kissing Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase. Oh, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You download that. The Fan podcast at 1080thefan.com.
The lesser of the text line or podcast, whatever it is.
Or wherever you get your podcast. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They'll treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit Vancouver Ford Broncosport.com. Guilty as charged. Got a 2022 Broncosport in the parking lot right now that's probably being ransacked by homeless people. But I did get that from my good friends, and they have been wonderful to me.
Don't speak it into existence I did. Yeah. You know the story with my window?
Oh, yeah.
And how I told my buddy, hey, we'll take your car to the golf course. I'd much rather have my car get broken into than your car. And look what happened.
What a nice person you are.
I know.
We got fair foul at the bottom of the hour, which Schultzy has put a lot of effort into, so I'm really excited for. Plus, we'll talk about offense. Is this real? Is this what we believe? We'll get to that in 15 minutes. But I want to talk a little Arizona Diamondbacks right now.
Oh, where's the Diamondback rattle? I think we got a drop somewhere.
The Arizona Diamondbacks, who are our friends that were in the World Series last year, and have kind of struggled out of the gate, but they've kind of come on really strong of late.
Haven't lost a series since June 27th, my man.
And that is insane that you say that, Joe. They haven't lost a series since late June.
I think 10-0-1, they tied a series against, I don't know if it's Cleveland, or I'd have to look. But
they are having some serious issues in their bullpen. Paul Sewald has been pulled as the closer. And whether it's Thompson or Puck,
AJ Puck Tua,
they can't figure out where they want the closer. And my question is this just kind of where we are in the beginning of August of a team trying to figure that's hot, a team that's hot. And this has been without Christian Walker for a few weeks. Ketel Marte looks like a potential MVP candidate. This team is coming on strong, doing kind of what they did last year, but their bullpen is in big trouble. Are we just figuring it out now? Or is this something that will prevent them from postseason?
I am at the point where I think I got to stop myself because we were talking about a little bit in show prep. I was going to say the three teams that are in postseason wild card potential. Oh, all right. That might be the Atlanta Braves right now, who I was going to say. I think these three wild card teams that are in it right now for the National League are going to the playoffs.
And next week when we tune in, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves. I think we got to talk about it. We'll do that next week.
Depending on how they're looking, because, boy, it's been a mess lately. But the Diamondbacks, if you're going to get things figured out, this is the time to do it now before S starts rolling down a hill and it starts becoming a bigger pile of S, because you're playing really good baseball offensively and starting pitching has been decent enough that you do not want to lose what progress you've made in regaining yourselves in the standings in towards a playoff spot with bad bullpen play.
They made a trade for AJ Puck, who has been pretty good.
Again, AJ Puck too, all right?
AJ has been pretty good for Miami, and he comes over.
Spit on that thing.
And so I guess my question is, would you like to have struggles in early August with your bullpen and figure it out now? Or is it a sign that things aren't going to go well for you?
Yeah, but
do you see what I mean, where I'm going with that?
Yeah, but again, they've been winning. So it's like, if this is a time to get it figured out, at least it's when you're not putting yourself into the position of games in one-run games or with big leads and then blowing it late. It's not like you're...
AJ Puck has blown a save. Thompson's blown a save. Sewald has blown a save all within the last week.
And you're still figuring out how to win games.
You are still figuring out how to win games.
Like, again, it's... I would
probably
rather...
Because there's a stupid rule where you get a guy on second base.
I'd rather... Well, that was just last night. I'd rather have this happen now, obviously. I mean, again, running into this in September, and again, the fact that you've gained traction in the standings while this is happening, it makes you as a team believe that may be our weakness, but we can ride that storm with good offense, good pitching. And if we don't put ourselves in a blown save situation, then we can ride this out and possibly make another run.
A lot of comments come in from Tori Lavolo, who we love, has said they want Sewald to be the closer.
I mean, he blew it for you in the World Series last year. You've now removed him from that role. It kind of makes me wonder, it's like, should they have put a little bit more to the bullpen like a month ago, more than just Puck?
They want him to be the closer. Do we believe that Paul Sewald will come back to be the closer?
No.
And then Thompson and Puck are great setup guys? Because we know how this goes. When you get to the playoffs, especially when you get to the World Series, the closer, like look at Cleveland, for example, all right? Class A is the best closer in baseball. But Cleveland is as good as they are right now because of Gattis and some of the other dudes. It's about the guys, you know, in 16, Cody Allen was the closer, but Andrew Miller was the guy. You know, do we believe that Arizona can put Sewald back in the closer role, but lean on a guy like Puck or a guy like Thompson to come in those high leverage moments in the seventh or the eighth?
Well, I think at this point you got to look elsewhere, because if you're this late in the season and you can't get the closing spot down with one of these guys, then you got to find, and it's too late to make a trade. There's no one that I know that's on the waiver wire and yeah. You know, a free agent.
K-Rod's available.
Yeah, so at this point it would be
Aaron Rodgers, maybe?
Looking at what you have in-house to possibly fill that closer role. Because they have some good relief guys, but not closers. So that's the problem is that. But then again, I mean, you look at some teams that are some of the best in the league, outside of maybe what Cleveland in the AL. And I'm probably forgetting another team at the moment. But I mean, the Yankees and the Orioles, they have their struggles.
Bullpens are struggles. Yeah. Seattle's a bullpen struggle. Houston's a bullpen struggle.
Well, again, I'm just saying, like, closer, like, finishing out the game, right? Yeah. Like, who...
Honestly, what? It's Emmanuel Clase. And outside of that, I don't know. It's not Josh Hader.
Well, and I'm trying to, again, think
it's
of...
It's not Clay Holmes.
I'm trying to think of teams that are in contention for a World Series, or
it's not Evan Phillips,
division leaders that where it's like they're coming in and it's like, all right, we're good.
No, outside of Class A, I mean, the Mariners do it a very specific way, and I actually like the way they approach it. If it's a bigger situation in the eighth, you got two runners on, you'll bring the foe closer in, or whoever you're considering it. The Mariners usually go with Munoz in, and then you'll bring in your next best guy in the ninth when there's no runners on to start the inning. So I don't know if maybe that's the way Arizona should start to go, just to try to, like, switch situations up a bit for these guys. But they got to do something. And you literally have to pull guys off the scrap heap now.
And I think I'm excited about this Arizona team because they were in the World Series last year. You look around, Ketel Marte has an argument for the MVP. Corbin Carroll has finally come on. Christian Walker, other than the fact that he's been hurt for the last 2 weeks, has been really nails for them.
Jock Peterson, good at baseball.
Jock Peterson's been really good for them. And I'm just curious. This team is fascinating to me. I can't wait to see what a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, and then we talk about Arizona. And are they good? We're always used to the World Series slump. The team that loses the World Series usually isn't that great the next year. But Arizona's catching fire like they did last year.
Well, they have a doubleheader against Cleveland tomorrow. Because their game got postponed today.
It's a big matchup.
But Cleveland's after that, good. They got a 4-game set against Philly. So that is a 6-game stretch in a matter of before Sunday, you're playing 6 games against good teams, 2 very good teams. Doubleheaders are always weird, but I mean, if they win that series and then they're able to split against Philadelphia, I think that is just, you still have a lot of confidence in this team.
Yeah. All right. We'll switch gears.
And then they play the Rockies and then the Rays and then the Marlins. Yikes.
Just get through it.
Those are the teams you don't want to face at the end of the year, though, okay? They'll come and bite you.
The Rockies will grab you. All right, when we come back, there's an offensive surge. Is it sustainable? Is this real? Is this just some stuff we see, a little bit extra? Or is this something that we can actually hang our hat on? We'll get to the Seattle Mariners. Schultz's Seattle Mariners. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. 8:19 here. We got Fair or Foul coming up at the bottom of the hour in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that.
And I am now an expert in artistic swimming. Actually, 3 to 5 more minutes and I'll be an expert.
Three to five more minutes.
I haven't been watching it long enough.
Joe needs 3 to 5 more minutes.
Zoom and hands. Zoom and hands.
Back into the left. Back into the left. I want to talk about offenses that have surged post trade deadline. And I think one thing that is worth really discussing, honestly, is Schultz's Seattle Mariners.
Your Seattle Mariners. What are you talking about?
Friday, July 26th. All right. These are the scores. These are the runs scored by the Mariners since then. 10, 6, 6, 7, 10, 2, 10, 6, 0.
It's a hell of a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, considering where things were, you know, the pretty low bar to clear when you're scoring 2 to 4 runs a game.
Oh, bro, that locker room was dire.
But what I will tell you is the last game they played was against the Philadelphia Phillies on the 4th. It was 6-0. What if I told you it was 1-0 going into the 7th and the bullpen gave it up?
I'm not surprised.
The question I ask on this Seattle Mariner team that everybody knows their biggest weakness is hitting. Defense is fine. Pitching is out of this world. Bullpen is a top 5 in the league. But hitting has always been a problem. 10, 6, 6, 7, 10, 2, 10, 6, 0. Is this sustainable? Is this the new offense of the Mariners? Victor Robles has been blowing the world away.
Yeah.
And this is without Julio Rodriguez, who looked pretty good before he got hurt. Justin Turner, Randy Arozarena has looked pretty solid in his appearances. Cal Raleigh does big dumper stuff. The top 4 of the lineup is 3 guys that weren't on the team 3 weeks ago and Cal Raleigh waiting on Julio to come back. Is this a real look at this Mariner offense? Or is this playing Chicago, Boston, and Philly? And Philly is a World Series contender, but Philly struggled at the dish of late. Philly has struggled of late. Is this a real litmus test of this Mariner offense, or is this just schedule?
Well, playing the White Sox will do wonders for your confidence.
For everybody.
I'm trying to see if this is accurate as far as post All-Star game stats for teams, because you would think that post All-Star, like, they'd been one of the better offenses, right?
I mean, when I look at the runs scored, I mean, they lost to Boston 14-7. And but they had Boston jumped out to like a 6-0 lead, and the Mariners kind of climbed back into that game.
But they've had like a 7 or 8 game streak of scoring 6 runs at least, right? Mm-hmm. So you would think that, man, all right, maybe this is this Mariners team is one of the hotter teams hitting the ball lately. Post All-Star break, they tie for 20th in the league with 68 runs scored. They have the 28th best average in the league post All-Star break at 214.
That's just post All-Star. That's not the entire year.
That's
an upgrade from 30. I'm just saying.
Because like, when I go
they're moving in the right direction.
When I go to post All-Star break runs, it says that they have scored 68. When I click over to the average, it still says post All-Star break, so I would assume that's keeping me on that that time frame there. 214. Home runs, I mean, it's got home runs over the last, you know, I mean, we're talking over what, the last about 2.5-3 weeks. I mean, they have the Red Sox and the Yankees at 30 home runs. The Diamondbacks, who have been one of the better offenses, at 29 home runs.
Surging really hard lately. Corbin Carroll's finally coming on.
They have the Mariners, though, with a home run total of 21 since then. So, again, it looks good because it was so bad. And I think that's what we have to take into account is like, wow, their offense is playing really good in comparison to what they were playing like at the beginning of the year.
But you were still so far down in terms of the league average that you're still terrible.
Yeah, and then clicking over to on base percentage, 312, that's good for 18th post All-Star break. That puts you right sandwich in between the Angels and the Giants.
Ouch.
As far as slugging goes, jeez, that puts you at 21 with a 391. Puts you in between the Cardinals and the Phillies, who, granted, they went through a six-game losing streak, and the Guardians, they were kind of having some hiccups there as well. But you were 21 in slugging since post-All-Star break.
So, to answer your question, Patrick, I think the vibe is sustainable itself.
I think the vibe has been great.
Yeah, the turnaround, the attitude.
The culture looks really nice on TV.
Yeah, I mean, even in that loss to the Red Sox, Arozarena hit his first home run as a Mariner, hitting the foul pole, and I think sent it out on to land down street, and he was smiling.
Looked nice.
Yeah, the whole team just, it really has kind of jumped their spark. Or
JP Crawford is also still hurt, so there's another guy that you should get back from an offensive standpoint.
I think September is when they expect him back. So they're definitely, I mean, honestly, they're not missing him much because Dylan Moore is giving him great at-bats, but when Julio comes back, that's when I expect the offense to surge. I'm happy that the vibe, I think, can continue, but I'm not sure that the offense is sustainable. They're still very inconsistent. Mentioned it last hour. Go get it anywhere you get the podcast. They struck out 30 times in that Philly series, and they're still tonight, I think, 7 or 8 strikeouts so far against against the Tigers, who are beating them 3-1. So, no, their approach at the plate hasn't been fixed, and you go back and think, you know, DePoto, if you just would have stood pat on Gino, on Teoscar, on Kelnick, you would have been fine. You'd probably be in first place by 7 games.
I don't know. I hate the Teoscar argument. I really do. I think Hernandez is a really great player. I think he's solid. I think he costs more than he's worth. But if you put him in a Dodger lineup where he bats after Will Smith, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, you're going to look good.
See, and even when I reduce this down to the last 14 days, last 7 days, they are still a bottom five team in average. I mean, just over the last week, they're batting 205.
Yeah. They're still striking out. They're hitting now. Their approach, though, has not been fixed. And they supposedly got rid of all the guys that struck out. So, what the hell?
Yeah, you can't throw Logan Gilbert 7 innings and then lose 6-0 because he gave up one home run first pitch to Kyle Schwarber, who has 45 career leadoff home runs.
Well, and how scared is the bullpen going in to try to protect a one-run lead like every
terrified
single day or every other day?
And they in that game, they blew it.
Exactly, because it's going to happen. They can't
and you're up against, and you're up against, you know, a deep drive to left field. And, like, that Philly offense, I know they've struggled, but there's a lot of dudes on that. I watched Bryce Harper against Bryce Miller. He had a 14-pitch at-bat.
Yep. The biggest amount of pitches in an at-bat for the Mariners since, I think, 2016.
Bryce Miller kept throwing him high and outside, and Harper kept fouling it off. And then what do? Double in the gap.
They, over the last week, they're just right in the middle of the pack at 699 in OPS.
They need Julio back. The Haniger, they have given Garver like 7 at-bats in the last week. They're literally giving at-bats to a black hole. They need Julio back so they can, I think they'll send Marlo or Rivas down and then just stop playing Garver except at backup catcher.
Yeah, I think the good news is the Astros are struggling. So we'll keep an eye on these Mariners and see how they continue. But there's a little bit of positive. Randy has been okay. Turner has been okay. Defense has been a little questionable.
Randy's OPB has been 400.
But Randy's been pretty good. Turner is the one I worry about. And can Victor Robles continue to have a resurgence in his career? So we'll check back in next week about how this Mariner team offense is going, because the pitching is going to keep rolling.
And I'll give you an update on the Mariners right now. 3-1 losing to the Tigers. Bottom of the 7th.
Well, Scooble threw today, right?
No, it was Montero.
Oh, Scooble's tomorrow.
Yes, Scooble versus
Scooble Kirby tomorrow.
Oh, Kirby. Oh, wow.
I believe.
Big one.
But Castillo was on the bump today.
Scooble
Kirby tomorrow.
Lasted 6 and gave up 3, struck out 9, though.
Quality start, amigo.
Hey, if he were on your team, he'd get you the points.
I want quality starts.
4 hits, 8 strikeouts.
54% win percentage. All right, when we come back, let's give some room for Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But first, there's Schultz with Sports.
Is it fair or is it foul? Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Coming up in 10 minutes, I got some more Olympic hot take. We'll get to that. But first, this is everyone's favorite part of the show. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, I'll turn it over to our famous, world famous, the one that everybody that I run into that realizes I work at 1080 The Fan asks me, can you tell me about Jordan Schultz?
I appreciate you. I know you're lying, but I appreciate you.
I'm actually not.
Really? I must be a mysteriously angry creature.
So you just lied twice in this segment.
They ask me, can you tell me about Jordan Schultz? And I say, boy, how long you got?
I need therapy. I'm getting some, though. I love my sports, and I get passionate about them. Speaking of which, MLB players, Olympics, I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But watching,
Bryce Harper wants to win a gold medal.
Well, I see the WNBA taking time off to allow their players to play, you know, and not just in the basketball, but in the three-on-three basketball as well. Haley Van Lith leading that team.
I kind of want to wonder, like, what if, what if Steph is like, you know, I'm not really built for this roster of five-on-five. What if I grab, like, my boy Clay and Draymond, and we just do three-on-three?
See, that would be cool.
Wouldn't
Super
that be
teams
cool?
Of retired NBA players for the three-on-three.
Three-on-three?
Okay, so let's grab...
Steph, Clay, Draymond would be fascinating.
I mean, yeah, I think, like, Dirk Nowitzki can still shoot it. Like, let's grab guys that have retired in the last few years.
Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, why not? I think they could beat out a very young
Dwayne
team
Wade, Slovenia. LeBron James, and Chris Bosh.
There you go.
Let me see it. I want to see it.
I'm down. I think they'd win gold. You're right. I love that. All right, guys, let's get into some... I really tried to put some thought into these. The first couple, I'm going to really try to stump you, and maybe I'll continue with one of these questions and kind of the formats as we go week to week, because I really liked it. But first one has to do with big news of the day. Chicago, the White Sox of the South Side, setting the record, or at least tying the record, excuse me, for most consecutive losses in the American League, tying the 1988 Baltimore Orioles with 21.
Ouch.
Blackjack, baby. So I was looking, and obviously it gotta be really bad to lose this many games in a row. Got me thinking, how many runs can these teams score during these really crappy 21-game losing streaks? So guys, fair or foul, the 1988 Baltimore Orioles scored more runs than the 2024 White Sox during their 21-game losing streak. By the way, White Sox up 4-1 over the Athletics right now, top eight.
Also, a fun fact about that Orioles team is I believe those 21 losses all came at the beginning of the season. So they started the season 0-21.
You are correct.
Yes. Wow.
Game 1 to game 21.
We're done.
Out of it before,
we're done.
Before the end of April, you're like, okay, so how about next year? How about 1989? That's our year, right? I'm going to say foul that the you worded it in what way that the Orioles
I said the
scored?
Orioles scored more runs than the White Sox.
I'm going to say fair. Just because I'm going to play recency bias, and dear God, this White Sox team is just hot garbage and they cannot hit the ball even less so than the Mariners. And I understand it's not like the Orioles were world beaters back then, and when you lose 21 straight games to start the season. But I'm going recency bias here, and that the White Sox have been worse.
I'm
going
to ride with Joe on this and say fair, but I'll do it for different reasons, as I love to do on Fair or Foul with you. Only because I don't think the Orioles in that year walked in expecting to be okay and then completely fall off. This White Sox team, I have to believe, is an all-timer. Because they've got guys that we know. They've got names. And they are so bad. They are so bad that their high prospects that are now in the league are terrible. Their best pitcher that they should have traded at the deadline basically told everybody, I won't pitch for you. That things are so bad. I'm fair. For different reasons, but I'm with Joe on fair.
How good must Paul DeJong felt walking from the White Sox see you later, dude. To the Royals?
Nobody traded for Tommy Pham, and that made me so excited. Like, Tommy, you got to stay there. You have to stay there and be a loser with them.
Tommy Pham went to the Cardinals.
Oh, really?
No, they did. They did get rid of him.
Yeah, shoot. He went to the Cardinals, and he's actually playing really, really well for the Cardinals.
Well, yeah, because he's not on the White Sox.
Well, and he loves St. Louis, man. He's started with them. And
yeah, I was
going to
say that was his team, right?
He's a big fan of them.
They dumped two veterans, and that was it. All right, guys. So that fair or foul is actually foul. Kind of fascinating to me because I was just wondering if there was, 21 game losing streaks, 40 years apart. If there's a discrepancy in runs scored, it actually wasn't that much. The White Sox scored more runs in this 21-game losing streak. 49 runs total. The Baltimore Orioles back in 88 scored 44 runs. Pretty wacky.
Over 21 games, 44 runs.
Yeah. Dude, Cal Ripken, too.
Cal Ripken Sr. was the manager of that team for six games.
You had Eddie Murray. You had Brady Anderson off the bench. That was actually not a bad Orioles team.
Well, it was. They were 54-107.
As far as the names. As far as the names,
Did Brady Anderson have Eloy Jimenez on the back of his jersey?
Well, they...
Did Cal Ripken have Yoan Moncada on the back of his jersey?
They fired...
Eddie Murray, I will not trash Eddie Murray, Cleveland legend.
They fired Cal Ripken Sr. after the first six games of the season.
Wow.
And they brought on Frank Robinson.
Oh, the old, they brought the old boy back. They were like, all right, Frank, come on,
save us, buddy.
Frank, we need you, buddy.
And then
he went
and lost 15 games
15
straight.
More.
Frank, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what locker room has a worse vibe? That 88 locker room with the Orioles or the White Sox in 2024?
It's got to be White Sox now because Frank Robinson, like, at least brought some stability.
Yeah.
Like, Frank Robinson is I mean, they have awards named after him.
One of the greatest players of all time.
First player to ever win an MVP in both leagues.
There you go. And a... Manager of the year in both leagues as well?
Manager of the
Would
league.
Would you rather start the season with a 21-game losing streak or end the season with a 20-game?
Start, without a doubt. Ask the 2019 Nationals. They won a World Series.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They were terrible at the end of May, and they won a World Series.
But again, like, if your team sucked regardless and you knew you weren't going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. If you're the Tigers right now, okay? Like, a team that's, like, trying to build. You got some young guys. Would I rather be bad at the beginning or bad at the end? I'd rather be bad at the beginning.
Well, again, you're bad all year. I'm just saying, would you rather end the year with 21 straight losses or start the... I think I'd rather start the year with 21.
Hey, man, one of the best teams in baseball in the month of July was the Oakland Athletics.
That's fair.
I'd rather be that.
You got a point. I guess if I'm a manager, I want it at the end of the year because then more in danger.
You
want to
be bad at the end of the year?
At the beginning of the year.
And we're just all mailing it in?
Well, no, but if you start sucking like Cal Ripken
we're going to Galveston. We're going to Galveston, Texas. Is that it?
God, like, imagine after those like first six, seven losses, you're like, well, the season's almost over. And then you get the loss 13, and you're like, please, God, end the season.
Yeah. And Chuck's sending you to Galveston, Texas. Is that
Kill
what
me, please.
All a right. lot of big ladies in Galveston, I'm told.
That's what I've heard.
San Antonio.
All right, guys. Fair or foul number two.
Texas in general.
Really was getting into my Seattle Mariners history this week, and I wanted to try to stump you with some former Mariners, just like random names that you may or may not know that have actually played with Seattle. So, guys, fair or foul. All four of these players have spent time in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Pat Borders... 1992 MVP, by the way, the World Series.
Great player.
You should know who he is.
Borders, great player.
Yeah. Toronto Blue Jays stud catcher. Roberto Pettijean, Ed Sprague, and Goose Gossage. All four have spent time in a Mariners uniform, fair or foul. Pat Borders, Roberto Pettijean, Ed Sprague, and Goose Gossage.
I only know two of those players. In Pat Borders and Goose.
Love it.
I'm going to say foul, just because I feel like three of the four, I couldn't tell you which three or four, but I feel like he's trying to throw a curveball at me.
I am also going to say
a
foul.
Nasty 15 RPM curveball.
I am also going to say foul, because I feel like Goose is such an iconic aesthetic player that I feel like I would have seen Goose Gossage in a Mariner uniform at some point. Because he is so iconic from a look point is, I don't know how to say that better, from an aesthetic point, like, he's got such a distinct vibe to his face that I haven't seen him in a Mariner, so I'll say foul as well.
Sorry, guys. All four.
Jesus.
All four have played in a Mariners uniform, and I think I'm going to bring this back next
week. My pacemaker!
Because I could do this for days. We could do this with other teams as well. So let me quickly go through, guys. Roberto Pettijean spent a few different years just kind of partly in the major leagues with the Red Sox a bit, with the Mariners opening day 2006, but was DFA'd in July after hitting a .185. He did hit over 230 home runs in Nippon professional baseball, though. So one of those guys just didn't make it here in America, but slugged it. Slugged it in Japan.
You got to do it.
Next up, Pat Borders, the 1992 World Series MVP, played in both Tacoma and Seattle from 01 to 05. Kind of went up and down as the organization's third catcher.
I didn't know Pat Borders played that late in 05.
Yeah.
He was still in the league.
That was his last season. And I actually remember.
Great player.
I was at the game that they had called him back or, like, re-signed him from Tacoma because Dan Wilson had gotten injured that year. And it was just, like, a shock. Like, hey, starting at catcher, Pat Borders, a 42-year-old. It was awesome. He played, until 05. We just said that. Ed Sprague played his final season in 2001 with the Mariners during their 116-win season. He was a utility player, appeared in 45 games, bat .298. And I guess the one that surprised you guys most, Goose Gossage. He spent his final season with the Mariners in 1994, pitching in 36 games and threw 29 strikeouts in a 4.18 ERA.
How memorable.
Strike here.
All right. A fair foul number three. So big news coming out today. MLB's kind of been doing games all around the world and different locations around America as well.
I saw this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is huge. I mean, Rickwood Field, that game was awesome. The Field of Dreams, different kinds of locations. Well, Rob Manfred and MLB announcing a very, very different kind of location. Next season, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred and Speedway Motorsports CEO Marcus Smith making the announcement that an MLB game between the Braves and Reds will be played at Bristol Motor Speedway next year. That is a crazy stadium, hosts around 150,000 people, you guys. Fair or foul, hosting a game at Bristol Speedway will garner huge TV ratings for Major League Baseball.
I'm going to say foul. It's going to get about the same amount as ratings as the game that they had down in Alabama this year, or the one that they had at the Field of Dreams game. I think it's going to get something around that. And also, how far are the fans going to be from the field? Like, isn't there a whole racetrack, like, separating the inner field of Bristol? Like, how are they going to do this exactly?
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering.
What's a good... Are they going to build stands in... I forget what they call not the pit, but the inner part of the racetrack.
Yeah. I will say foul because I think this is kind of a stupid idea just from a logistics standpoint. I have nothing against racing. Like, if you like...
If they have cars racing during the game, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, if you like cars driving left all the time, like, good for you. Like, I'm so happy for you. I think the ratings will be not great for this, but I do want them to do NASCAR rules about what you can take into the game. I want people in the outfield
bringing
barbecues and coolers and partying in the bleachers.
Hell yeah.
Like it's a NASCAR. That would be amazing. But no, again, I have no issue against NASCAR. If you love NASCAR, that's good for you. It's not my thing. But if you love it, that's awesome. Logistically, Joe's right. Where are you going to put the field?
Yeah.
Like, is everybody, like, hanging out in RVs on the pitcher mound?
No,
like,
I would assume you're building up, like, stands kind of down to the center of the pit where the grass is.
Which makes me think the only way to put a baseball stadium in a NASCAR track would be able to take away 75% of a NASCAR track. So it's not that exciting. You see what I mean? Like, if you had a baseball game in the middle of downtown Disneyland, you'd be like, wow, there's the Matterhorn. Wow, there's Space Mountain. But in the middle of a NASCAR track, you would have to take out the entire NASCAR track.
Now, are they really going to, like, fill that whole stadium, too? There's, like, a,
no.
What would you say, 150,000?
It's around 150,000 seats.
In where? Bristol, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Really? You don't think?
No, what, a bunch of ESPN guys are going to go there?
Yeah,
who lives in Bristol?
I don't know. Yeah, a bunch of ESPN guys. That'd be it. All right, guys, final fair or foul. Concerning the Texas Rangers, they are 6 games under .500 at 54-60, but they are still only 5.5 games out of first place.
Corey
Seager
broke
AL
up Framber Valdez's no-hitter with 2 outs at the bottom of the ninth. Hit a dinger.
Yes, he did.
That guy's a 2-time World Series MVP in different leagues.
Yeah, Corey Seager's damn good. That's true.
I like him.
Corey!
Him, along with Adelis Garcia, as well as Marcus Semien, combining for almost 60 home runs between the three of them this year. They still have Scherzer and John Gray on the injured list. So
DeGrom's going to be back in about 2 weeks.
Exactly. They're getting some help back. So,
God,
guys,
when have I not heard that before?
It's true. Fair or foul, the Texas Rangers will make the playoffs this season.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout.
I'll go first on this. You know, I don't think Texas will make the playoffs. I don't think they quite have it. I think they caught really great lightning in a bottle last year. But I do think, so I will say foul, but I do think they're a team to watch. I do think so. I think Dave Robertson has been one of the best relievers in baseball this year. And Bochy is always going to do Bochy things. You never know what DeGrom's going to look like. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but boy, I'm really intrigued. I'm curious about them. I'm more curious about them than I am, say, the Padres. I'm more curious about them than, say, the Braves. And I'm more curious about them than, say, the Astros in their own division. I don't think they will, but I'm going to keep an eye on them. I think they've got guys, and they've got the best manager in baseball.
I'm going to say foul. They just are not hitting the ball like last year.
No.
Their
no.
offense is not nearly as potent. Adelis Garcia is taking a step back. Josh Young, Jonah Heim, Marcus Semien isn't even hitting the ball as
Evan
well.
Carter, I mean, Evan Carter's been on the DL for 3 months.
Dude, and he was supposed to have a great full season
and
after
why,
having his, you know, and de facto rookie year last year.
And Wyatt Langford, who was the number one prospect for your Jackson Holliday,
started playing a lot better, but
okay,
started very slow. He did hit for the cycle at one point this year, which
cool. Everybody
that's
has
game,
great
though.
Games.
Yeah, exactly. Their offense is just not it this year, and they've lost arms. They've not been healthy on that side of the diamond. No, and they're like probably. I mean, the last AL wildcard team, who are they right now? You got the Yankees, you have the Twins, and then, like, the Royals and the Red Sox are probably that. Like, you're probably looking
yeah,
at
Seattle is not a wildcard team. They got to win the division.
Well, again, and whoever's finishing second in that division is not making the playoffs.
No,
so,
no. In the West is no. The East is, yeah, the Yankees. And the Central, yeah, the Twins have got hot. And maybe the Royals, but I doubt even though I really picked them at the beginning of the year.
So I say the nay. Rangers, you need a lot to go right at the end of the year, and I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to be a Bochy. This year sucks, and then next year they come out the gates like gangbusters, and Bochy is just in every other year. He's like, yeah, I win, and then we chill out for a year, and then we win again, and then we chill out for a year, and then we win again.
All right, well, that's all I got for you guys, and thanks to the Vancouver Ford texter correcting us, Bristol Speedway, not in Connecticut, and I looked it up, it's actually in Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Well, that sounds better because Nashville wants a baseball team, so we'll see how they show up. All right, let's get out of here. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, today the fan. Shout out to the text line for letting us know that Bristol's in Tennessee. I still don't care because it's turning left, but thank you. Like, now I learned something. I like learning things.
I'm telling you, to me,
I really like learning things. I don't mind being wrong. Like, I was wrong. But I'm happy to learn that it's in Tennessee.
If you want to sell that stadium out, you have a race going on at the same time as that baseball game. Imagine a foul ball hitting a car on the track as it's racing, causing a 10-15 car pileup.
While I'm cooking ribs and Coors Lights all day.
And the number 18 car, oh, baseball hits the windshield. Oh, and he goes spinning out on turn 3.
That'd he gets awesome. Out and charges the mound.
Instead of a pit stop fight, you get an actual on baseball fight between
like
a race car driver.
He jumps a fence and runs onto the field because he's mad that the foul ball hit his car.
Yes. That sign me up. Wonderful.
All right, that'll do it for us. When we come back next week, let's talk a little bit Braves. Are they sustainable? I'll check in on the Phillies, and is this Mariner offense continuing to going? Plus, go Indians.
Oh, God.
For Jordan Schultze behind the glass, that's Joe Fisher.
Go Orioles.
I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.